for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with our weekly look at the world of non-league football. A short show this week, the penultimate of the season, as I round up the latest news with non-league paper editor-at-large Matt Badcock, and we enter AGM time. Just like the stuff we reported on, there is plenty going on in the background ahead of the new season to keep you entertained when we get there. So for now, just sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So whilst many in the non-league world have their trunks on, lying in the sun, on the sunbed, in some far-flung part of the world, the diehards are still working hard, juggling a million and one things and keeping the cogs of the world of non-league world turning. None more so than those down at non-league paper towers, and it's a pleasure to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show editor-at-large at the non-league paper and expert in nappy changes, baby feeds and sleepless nights, Mr. Matt Badcock. Congratulations on the new edition, Matt, and welcome back.
Tim, we're operating on about 4 hours sleep here, and I'm currently walking the streets of the town I live, trying to keep the young boy quiet, which is going well so far, but we'll soon see. But no, thank you.
I love your style, introducing him to the non-league show so early on in the game. Yeah. It may backfire.
He's already done 10 grounds. He's already done 10 non-league rounds. We're ticking him off as we go. First opportunity we get down a game, but not quite yet. Okay. What's a bit of an England game, never mind me, firstly.
Well, you're coaxing him in gently then to understand that the game at the higher end that they say is the higher echelons is probably not the way forward. He needs to be concentrating on non-league stuff. And as we did last weekend, we had the playoff final in the National League. Sorry, the promotion final for the National League. Much news, column inches beforehand on the choice of venue, on the timing, on the ticket prices. But for nearly 23,000 people that were there, it was quite a treat.
It was. After, like you say, all the build-up, all the talking, all the fuss, the game of football took place, and it was quite enjoyable. Especially if you're a Grimsby Town fan, who definitely enjoyed their day, their long trip down to East London. But I thought it went, it's not the first time I've been to the London Stadium, as we now call it. I don't know if I want to call it the Olympic Stadium, the London Stadium. And sort of kind of don't quite know what it's going to be like, but when we got out into sort of just where you could see the pitch and the stadium, it looked really good with Grimsby fans and some little Moors fans sort of on the far side from where we were kind of all banked up. And yeah, it looked good and they made quite a racket and it was a really entertaining game. I think it could have gone either way. Tight one. I think the Grimsby probably about deserved. I've got a feeling Solihull Moors maybe felt they didn't quite show their best in periods. But I mean, Grimsby talk about going the long route. That's the third game they've had. But in the playoffs, they've gone into extra time and kind of get to that third where you think, well, I can't go and do it again after beating Nottingham and then Wrexham in that absolute mad semi-final that they won 5-4 and think, well, I can't go and do it again in extra time and they did. Credit to them, a very brief return to non-league and they're back in the football league. Very happy.
A great story for them as well. I mean, not only have they bounced back at the first attempt, replicating that playoff win of 2016 when they beat Forest Green Rovers again when they were led by Paul Hurst in that one, but they finished sixth in the division, 11 points behind second place Wrexham as well. And as you say, they then did it the hard way via the playoffs with all those extra minutes in their legs. So, and ironically, they're going to be the ones with probably the shortest summer out of all the players.
Yeah, it's going to be a quick turnaround for them, but I know they'll be much happier having that quick turnaround in back in the EFL. They had to do it the hard way, finish sixth, weren't they? They were away the whole way, away to Notts, away to Wrexham, and obviously down to London Stadium. But I went out to Grimsby earlier in the season. I saw him against Wrexham actually, and it kind of felt—I don't know—I couldn't like quite put my finger on it, but it felt like a sort of slight different place to when I'd sort of been there before. It was a big crowd. I know it was a big game on a midweek night, which is always good for the atmosphere, but it just kind of felt like there was a much more sort of optimism around the place than there kind of was previously. I don't know if I'm quite right now. It's just sort of my sort of sense on the day, really. And you can kind of see how their new owners have kind of come in and galvanised the place a little bit. It just feels a much sort of happy club. I think they sort of, you know, you think about when they went up, as you said, a few years ago, and some of the clubs that have kind of come up since then and gone past them, you know, Tranmere had gone up into League One, Lincoln did as well. And they didn't really sort of seem to kick on last time. And you kind of hope maybe they're going on in a better ground in with the new owners. And Fulhurst has kind of shown what a good manager he is and kind of how he operates and how he goes about things. And I think they can, you know, obviously, as much as enjoy cruising, going up and having some fish and chips, I'm sure they don't want to be back in that league. If they can possibly help it.
Yeah, I was gonna say many in non-league are gonna miss those fish and chip trips. I know there was football as well that was quite entertaining at Blundell Park, but with Stockport and Grimsby departing, we do get Scunthorpe United and also the first non-league appearance as well of Oldham Athletic, who I understand are the first ex-Premier League club to take a non-league bow.
Yeah, they've come all the way. You know, obviously a difficult surface. Like, lots going on at that football club. And as we say, every single year, clubs come down and they are in by the very nature of the fact you've been relegated. It's not been going very well. It's not a very happy place, and there's often problems, not solely on the pitch, but there's lots to turn around and to get going. And you can see from Grimsby actually getting back up how difficult that was. I think they're the fifth team to do it, to go straight back up since the playoffs have come in. That sort of does show how hard it is, and that's because you're coming down into a league where you've got teams like Solihull Moors, and Moors more than played their part. You know, they had a great season, finished third in the league. I think they'd lost one in 24 and they went into the playoffs, and it can go either way, and they were just trying to get into the Football League for the first time. But you're coming up against clubs like that who are more than set up to go again. It was that kind of weird little run where teams lost the playoff final, went back the next year and won it. That happened with Grimsby. They lost the Bristol Rovers, went back and won it. Beat Forest Green, who went back the next year and beat Tranmere, went back the next year and beat Bournemouth. So there's a little run. So if Solihull Moors can take a bit of heart from that. You know, they're well set up. They've got a fantastic manager, Neil Ardley. You know, keep hold of some of their players who are naturally going to get that sort of attention. So you've got some good young players there. Scunthorpe and Oldham are coming to a league where teams are really ready to go and are well sort of seasoned in the division. Mm. It's a big, it can be a big culture shock for them.
Yeah, I mean,
can you tell I'm walking up a hill?
Yeah, well, it's a slightly different. It's early pre-season training, of course. I like your style, you know. As I open with, you know, there's probably some of the talented players just lying on a bed, being served cocktails and beer and snuffling nuts. But
no days off.
The top non-league journalist in the country is still pounding the pavements to make sure that his fitness is still.
I took a wrong turn. I think I'm going to have to climb in Everest for a minute.
We battle on. As will the clubs go coming down. Oldham, I've got boss in John Sheridan. He's a bit of a legend there. I think looking at when he's been caretaker, when he's been manager, I think he's six spell as a manager at Oldham, and he had 150 odd games there as a player too as well. But he's going to stick around and aiming to take them back up, and do a Grimsby. But he's got non-league experience from his time at Chesterfield a few years back, I guess. But it's the culture, isn't it? It's the culture of the club that needs to be right in order to for clubs to get in the reckoning even come the end of the season.
Yeah, it's huge. I think you just go back to Paul Hurst. Yeah, he was at Scunthorpe not that long ago. And it didn't go very well. And obviously, you know, actually when you look at it, you think, well, maybe there are other things going on. Are there other factors? Because he's come back to Grimsby and shown what a good manager he is, which we kind of all knew. I think he's kind of said after the game that, you know, it's not always easy, the decisions you make. You can't always pick and choose where you go. And, you know, he's one of those cases in point where you get to the right club, you can create the right culture, which he's done. Which you can clearly see, they've got that real resilience about them in the team. and kind of off the pitch, there's that more togetherness now. And that's the problem with clubs when they come down. They do come down fractured. So it's going to be difficult to turn the to go about that and see how we can best manage it, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say that, because one of the things that I have seen from the Scunthorpe manager, Keith Hill, again, it looks like he's staying with the club, keeping the going. But one of the things he said, he's offloaded loads of players, and he said that there does need to be a change in the culture there. You know, things aren't right. He's put his hands up and said things aren't right, which is, it's never a good sign when you're the manager and you're at the heart of it.
Yeah, that's I suppose it's at least acknowledging it, because some clubs can kind of come down with that sort of, well, you know, we're a football league club and we're coming into non-league and we'll be all right. But so often the case, we see that doesn't go very well. I mean, you've got to get your recruitment right. And they've kind of made us. They signed Andrew Boyce this week, who knows his way around non-league, been around it for a little bit. Some of the older, they signed Liam Hogan, who's just won the league of Stockport. They're kind of making those sort of right noises, but it's very early days and difficult to kind of tell where they'll be. But as I say, there's teams who are here, ready to go again. And, you know, they don't really, really care whether you used to be in the Premier League. They're kind of got their own ambitions and where they're trying to get to.
Andrew Boyce, he's got 5 years' experience at Eastleigh, so he's been there, seen it and done it. He's also an ex-player at Scunthorpe as well, or Scunny, as my friend from those local parts tells me I have to refer to them as. That's going to be great knowledge and experience in such an important position as a centre-half, as he normally is, but it's the other players that are around you, what experience they've got. You know, I think Boyce is, 32, 33 now, he's sort of, It's likely that the rest of the squad are going to be much younger around him, and they're going to be feeling their way around the division. It's going to be difficult. And interestingly as well, I saw this week Scunthorpe's milometre for the season ahead, and apparently they're going to travel an extra 600 miles in the National League than they did in last season's Division 2. 7,322 miles, and just six of those games next year are within a 100-mile radius of the club, which is quite an ask for all involved, including the fans. And it's often the fans that the club needs to embrace this new non-league status quicker than any. And if they've got further to travel and no local games, that could be even more difficult for Scunny fans.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough adjustment for them. It's not that long ago, they were watching League One football and pushing, weren't they? Not all that long ago as well, to kind of go beyond there. So, yeah, lots and lots of miles. I think I saw a map recently where kind of, sort of like a north and south division this year, isn't it? Sort of Solihull kind of in the middle. So you're talking a little bit out down there, but it's kind of a funny makeup of divisions. There's going to be lots of travelling for everybody next season. But that's all part of how you have to cope with it, and that's the part of the national that people have to get their heads around, is that sort of difference of one day you're at a big ex-league club, a couple of days later you're travelling down to a smaller non-league side on a Tuesday night, and you've got to adapt. And if those ones who deal with it and get it, I think it's no coincidence this year that the two managers who got promoted, not only been in this league before, but they've also won promotions from it before. So I think that tells quite a story.
And the other big news coming out earlier today, we're speaking on Thursday evening, the new sponsors in the FA Trophy and FA Vars, Isuzu UK, the motor manufacturers, a big name to succeed Bill Bass, and hopefully a big boost to the competitions and the clubs that are going to feature in them.
Yeah, I think it's good for the FA to get something tied up. So
very quickly,
I think obviously they knew that they would have known that the Bill Bass kind of was coming to an end, and Bill Bass have been excellent. You know, they're sponsoring our National Game Awards next week. They've poured a lot of money into the non-league game through their bursaries, and people have been able to sort of apply for that to improve their grounds, which we know is so vital. So I'd be interested to see what the new sponsors bring, but really good news that they're not going in, you know, even into the summer, kind of trying to wondering who's going to replace them. And I think we've seen over the years what good competitions they both are, and what a good day that Monday finals day is, and they've obviously seen that and wanted to jump on board.
And it is the sort of, like, the different sort of news that's coming at us now in the current weeks, in the coming weeks as well. It really is admin time. We're into AGM season now as well, with Leeds confirming their constitutions, clubs confirming that they're going to be playing in this division, that league. Still a few unresolved, but by this time next week we should have clarity, I guess, for step three and four. But some of these AGMs for lower down the pyramid are coming at the end of the month.
Well, this is it. Football never stops, is it? And that's the case in point. You know, there's no time off really. Everything kind of drags through now, and yeah, it'll be good when it's all done. Just get through this period. I always like to get out of the way, just get through, kind of get everything signed off, and then we can look forward to the new season and kind of a bit of looking forward to all that and what that's going to bring. Because yes, it was a few days I was watching a game, but I miss it already. So sooner it all comes back properly, the better.
Well, talking about it never stops. I mean, the human football dynamo, as he is, Phil Hitchcock's down at the South West Peninsula League. He's released the first set of fixtures already today. I mean, we are only the 9th of June, and we know what that first weekend of fixtures is going to be down in the South West. Step six, I think they're up. I've already seen people are planning their holidays around the games down in the South West there, thanks to the hard work of Phil Hitchcock and the team in the South West Peninsula League.
Well, this is it. I think we sort of forget that, you know, when these fixtures come out, and you sort of see when seasons finish and people say, when the fixture's out, someone's got to do it, even if it's given all the information to a computer. I don't know how Phil does it down there, but fantastic that the games are, that the fixtures are out. And like you say, people can plan, and that's great as well, because there'll be lots and lots of people down that part of the world in August on their holidays, and any little excuse to slip out and have a few hours at the football, I'm sure will be welcomed by many. Mm.
Lots more to report on the managerial merry-go-round. We missed out reporting last week on Pete Wilde leaving FC Halifax for Barrow. Ian Birchall leaving Notts County for Forest Green Rovers. It's just showing how good the managerial talent is in non-league and how coveted it is by those higher up. But we've also we had Alan Dowson getting back into the game at Dartford, and former Westfield boss Tony Reid in at Corinthian Casuals. But one manager now this week on the free list, Hayden Bird leaving the Kingstonian with Leo Leary's former assistant taking on the main role there. Once again, I'm sure there's many to report on this weekend too, but what else can we expect in this weekend's edition of the non-league paper?
Well, yeah, we've got lots of reaction to the promotion final, as you'd expect, and some good, great pictures that come through from the club having an open top pass, and some fantastic pictures there from the final itself as well. So we've got lots of that. We've got a nice piece of Andy Burgess, a Russian Diamonds manager. Obviously, he was interim manager there in the last season, then taking it on. He's got some really interesting, funny stories, and he's kind of talking about his playing career when obviously he was a big part of Russian Diamonds. Been their previous guys, under Brian Talbot, spoken to new Chester manager, Callum McIntyre. Again, someone who's been familiar, been around the club for a long time. He was at Runcorn last year, did a great job, and then he's come back to Chester, and he's got that mammoth task there to kind of see if he can push them up the table. We've spoken to Darwin about their Darwin FC, Darwin AFC. There's a nod to their roots and one of the pioneers of English football, so we've got nice piece with them. I spoke to James Vincent, who's joined FC United, interesting sort of, you know, that transition of his life he's in, where he's played a lot of non-league football full-time. He's been up to Scotland and won, scored at Hampden Park in a cup final from the North Caledonian Thistle, and now he's back in non-league affairs for the last year, but he's going into a part-time football, and he's kind of making the point that, yes, it's part-time football, might only have a couple of years left, but I want to make a lot more memories, and this is what it's all about for these players to kind of see what they can do, and when they hang the boots up in however many years, they can look back at what they've achieved in the game.
Oh, it sounds an important.
And lots more. There's lots more in there as well.
It sounds they're the sort of stories that make non-league different from the rest of all these Premier League stars that have maybe just stayed with one club all the way through their academy, or maybe switched around for a better deal and that sort of thing. Yeah, the stories of a non-league footballer or a ex non-league footballer when they become managers, yeah, I really could listen to for hours, and you always find something different from everyone you speak to. Matt Badcock, we look forward to reading the non-league paper this weekend. Thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Thanks for having me, Tim. See you soon.
So that is it for this week. Thanks as ever to Matt Badcock and the team at the Non-League Paper, which includes myself actually this week, with a return of the Non-League show, Non-League Paper column this weekend. A big thank you also to all for listening. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. I'm there as well at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, but also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, thank you, and goodbye.
Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA